It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time here in the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, a look at possible boycott of the Oscar ceremony over a lack of diversity among nominees.
First, the cancer diagnosis can be a shocking event, but it doesn't always mean the patient will stop going to work every day. In fact, according to a new study conducted at UW-Madison, about 44% of working people diagnosed with metastatic cancer keep on working after their diagnosis.
Joining us now is the UW oncologist who led that study. Dr. Amy Tavarwerk is an assistant professor of hematology and oncology at the UW Carbone Cancer Center. Amy, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, Veronica. How are you?
Good, thank you. Well, I want to start out by getting our terminology straight. How do you define metastatic cancer?
Right. So, and I'm glad you started with that because I think it's an important distinction when we're talking about the group of patients that we looked at. So we're talking about patients who've been diagnosed with cancer, and it's not the kind of cancer that we're expecting to be able to cure or make go away and stay away forever and ever. It's the kind of cancer where we're treating them to hopefully prolong their life and buy time, but it's a cancer that we expect to ultimately take the individual's life, which is very distinct from what we do when we're treating someone for cure. So
tell us about the goal of the study. What did you want to get at as you looked at it?
Yeah. So as you mentioned in your introduction, I'm a medical oncologist, which means that I treat many individuals, in my case, breast cancer patients, because that's what I do in everyday life. And I was in a situation where I was counseling a lot of women about working and whether or not they should continue to work despite the fact that they had a metastatic breast cancer diagnosis. And many of these women expressed that they either needed or wanted to work, but there was very limited information available to us about sort of what were the factors that might indicate they were likely to be able to keep working for a long time, or what would be something that we could modify or target as a way to keep them able to work longer. And so that was really the impetus for conducting this analysis.
And how did you go about conducting the study?
Yeah, so we cheated a little bit. Maybe that's not the best way to describe it, but what we did, because it takes a long time to collect data like this, and it's also very expensive, is we actually borrowed information from a larger trial that was conducted through one of the research groups. So the Eastern Cooperative Oncology Group is something that is a research group that the UW participates in, and we participated in a larger clinical trial that was known as the Symptom Outcomes and Practice Patterns Study. And that larger study looked at breast, prostate, colon, and lung cancer patients who were being seen for outpatient oncology visits, and recruited them and collected data between 2006 and 2008. And among the several thousand patients that they recruited and surveyed were 668 patients who were less than 65 years and had metastatic cancer. And so we were able to take a look at the data from those patients.
And what did you find?
Well, what we did is we were able to look at two factors. So the patients were asked two really important questions from our perspective. One was, were they working? And they could sort of answer, yes, I was working full-time, no, I was, or yes, I was working part-time, or no, I'm not working. And then they could also tell us that they had a change due to illness or cancer. And so we were able to divide the patients up into a series of groups. And the two that we were most interested in were those patients who reported that they were no longer working. In other words, they weren't working, and that was a change because of illness. And compare them to patients who were still working and reported no change due to illness. And then we were able to compare those two groups on the basis of a number of factors.
Right, and let's get into some of those factors. What did you find about why some continued to work and others withdrew
right.
from that?
So as the announcer sort of alluded to, we found that a fairly significant number of patients were continuing to work, and the actual percentage varied a little bit depending on how we broke down the data, right? So to some extent, it's not surprising to the listeners that there were a number of patients, roughly 20-25%, who weren't working, but that wasn't a change. These probably represented people who had taken early retirement or maybe were never working, were never in the workforce. But a good chunk, roughly 40-50%, depending on how we looked at the numbers, were continuing to work. And the key thing for us was that it wasn't age, it wasn't gender, it wasn't cancer type or how long someone had had a diagnosis or where they had metastatic disease that really mattered. Race and ethnicity mattered a little bit, unfortunately, but it was largely type of treatment and then symptom burden. So patients, the good news was that patients getting treatment, even if that treatment was chemo and radiation or immunotherapy, that wasn't associated with a negative change. So treatment itself didn't negatively affect work. But then from our perspective, the other important part was that high symptom burden was correlated with a change to no longer working. And that's important to us because symptoms and symptom burden are something that we can potentially modify.
We're talking right now with Dr. Amy Tavarwer from the UW Carbone Cancer Center. We're talking about a new study that she led about metastatic cancer patients continuing to work after their diagnosis. And you talked about the symptom burden as something that you could maybe modify, intervene, and I guess with the goal of helping these patients keep working. What kinds of things were involved there with the symptoms, and what could you do to mitigate?
Yeah. So I see symptom burden or symptom cluster because we often find that these symptoms don't occur in isolation. So it's not as if, you know, Diana Jones has symptoms that are just fatigue. Usually the symptoms are occurring in a kind of cluster. So the symptoms that were most strongly associated with no longer working were fatigue, drowsiness, neuropathy, and memory changes. So those are symptoms that we can modify. We know from other research and other work that's been done that oftentimes the medical community isn't the best at helping patients manage these symptoms or in remembering to offer them treatment that might help them manage those symptoms. So fatigue and drowsiness. Fatigue is actually something that can often be modified by increasing physical activity or participating in specific therapies. Sometimes I think as oncologists we think that our metastatic patients won't benefit from that and we fail to offer it. Neuropathy, which is a numbness or tingling in the fingers and toes, can be modified by changing the types of drugs we give or potentially offering medications that help control that kind of pain.
So typically, do you think if some of these symptoms aren't addressed, it's because they don't seem as though they're terribly acute, that there are bigger, big picture things to manage? And so some of these other things that might interfere with day-to-day quality of life and ability to work are marginalized a little bit.
I think that's a fair thing to say. I mean, it's so hard to judge. I mean, as oncologists, we're often interested in a treatment that's going to work as well as possible, i.e. shrink the cancer as much as possible, but it's, you know, that may not be what the patient, him or herself, is most interested in. They may be most interested in a treatment that's going to keep their disease stable and allow them to continue doing other things that they value, such as maybe going to work or participating in family events, et cetera.
Do you have any data about whether continuing to work for these patients affects mental health and their sense of well-being?
So it's really interesting you say that. So the parent study that we were looking at didn't address a number of factors that we would have really liked to get information about. So it didn't inquire about the reasons why patients continued working. So we don't know whether it was primarily financial or primarily something that patients wanted to do because of a sense of normalcy. However, Dr. Mary Sester, who's one of the co-authors on the study, and I have a survey study that recently completed and we're looking at that's going to provide us information about, you know, what benefits do the patients see in continuing to work.
Do you think now that the study is out there that you have enough knowledge, information to do things differently? If you have a patient who says, I'd like to work, what can you do to help me? Will you change course at all?
So I think we're able to reassure them that participating in treatment, particularly if they're able to receive endocrine therapy, so that's an anti-hormonal, anti-female hormone, or anti-male hormone treatment, we know that that's actually really strongly associated with continuing to work. So we're able to discuss somewhat that treatment won't affect their ability to work, that there are certain types of treatments that are even less likely to negatively impact work. We're able to encourage them to continue to seek out control of symptoms rather than just try to, quote-unquote, gut it out. My co-authors and I are also particularly interested in developing future studies and trials where we can look at what helps patients continue to work more. So some of these interventions we've talked about, maybe it's a particular combination of them that would do best.
Well, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Dr. Amy Tvarwerk is an assistant professor of hematology and oncology at the W. Carbone Cancer Center. And we've been talking about a new study she led about metastatic cancer patients continuing to work after their diagnosis.